Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. This week, I'm your host, David Robbins, bringing you our bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. We're going to struggle to hit 5 minutes this podcast, probably because of the recent election focus. There's not a lot going through the pipeline, but we do have 3 items of interest, so let's cover what we can. In mentor-protege news, the tail end of last month, DOD published a final rule amending the DFARS to implement Section 1823 and 1813B of the NDAA for fiscal 2017. Both provide modifications to the DOD pilot mentor-protege program. The final rule adopts, with only minor editorial changes, the proposed rule issued earlier this year, and in relevant part, it amends the DFARS to specify that the SBA, the Small Business Administration, must first make a determination of affiliation before a mentor firm may enter into an agreement with a protege firm. It adds women's business centers as a form of assistance that a mentor firm can obtain for a protege firm and requires that mentor-protege agreements include assistance that the mentor firm will provide to the protege in understanding acquisition regulations. In critical technology task force news, on the 24th of October, SecDef Mattis issued a memorandum establishing the Protecting Critical Technology Task Force, which will be dedicated to ensuring the integrity of DoD's critical data, classified info, controlled unclassified info, and key data. The task force will be comprised of representatives from a cross-section of the DoD's civilian and military departments and will report directly to the DepSecDef and the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Until the DepSecDef appoints a director of the task force, Major General Thomas Murphy of the Air Force will serve as its director. Effective immediately, the director is required to report to the DepSecDef and other leadership on the task force's progress, recommendations, and needs, get this, with 2 sprints aimed at addressing basic problems in the first 90 days, and even shorter, the first 30 days as well. In use of Corporate Monitor's news, early last month, the Assistant Attorney General issued a memo to DOJ Criminal Division personnel establishing standards, policy, and procedures for the selection of monitors in criminal division matters. This guidance applies to all determinations of whether a monitor is appropriate in a given case, as well as to all deferred prosecution agreements, non-prosecution agreements, and plea agreements between the criminal division and a monitored organization. The memorandum emphasizes that monitors should be imposed only when there is a demonstrated need for one and only after a careful weighing of the costs and benefits. When weighing the potential benefits, DOJ attorneys should consider, among other things, the nature and pervasiveness of the misconduct, whether senior management approved the misconduct, the corporation's internal controls, and whether remedial measures have been effective. When weighing the potential costs, attorneys should consider the financial expense and also whether the proposed scope of the monitor's role is appropriately tailored to avoid unnecessary burdens to the business operations. The memo also provides specific guidance on terms required for criminal division monitoring agreements, requires the criminal division to create a standing committee on the selection of monitors, and provides detailed procedures on the monitor selection process. Okay, well, that's it. That's all we got. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. Peter will rejoin us then. And in the meantime, I can be reached at 202-624-2627. Take care.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.